All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started with some prayer, and then we'll look into God's Word. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for your Word that you've given us to teach us, to give us a guide for life. God, we thank you for the many true stories that it contains, God, of real people that we can learn from. God, it's not detached. God, the Bible is something that applies to us today, and may we do that. God, give us ears that want to listen tonight and hearts that want to change. And God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about boldness. What is boldness? Can anyone give me a definition or an example of boldness? What is boldness? Say, what was that? Okay. You have something you'd like to share with the class, Todd? Oh! Do I need to turn off the microphone for this? We're about to have a beatdown. All right. What is boldness? With a B in the beginning. That was bold. That's a good example of boldness. All right. Now for seriousness, Josh. Hey. All right. When someone's talking to you, you guys need to listen. All right. Boldness is, in Josh's terms, going and accomplishing a task in spite of the danger that may be present. All right? It's good. I like that. Anybody else? Boldness? You want to expound on that? All right. Well, then I'll give you my definition. This is from dictionary.com again, as was the definition from last week. So I like that a lot. It's easy and helpful. Boldness, not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. Rebuff. All right. Courageous and daring. That's what boldness is. Okay, if you look at just the dictionary definition, which can be helpful when you want to start looking at something. Other words for boldness, some of these words are used in the Bible that are kind of synonyms for boldness. So it would be courage, fearlessness, confidence. Is boldness something that we encounter in everyday life or like something that we should have or shouldn't have at different times? You can nod your head yes or shake your head no. No. Do you need boldness? Like, do you ever face dangers in life? Not like life-threatening dangers, but someone share with me. Boldness. When do you need boldness in your life? Michael.
Sharing the gospel.
Sharing the gospel. Yeah, that's definitely something that instantly comes to mind. We think of boldness in sharing the gospel. All right. We need boldness in sharing the gospel, boldness in living out our faith. A lot of people, holiness is not a big thing these days. People want to sin and enjoy it. So boldness would be, you know, living a holy life in the midst of people that are against you. Boldness would be speaking out against sin. You know, confronting a brother or confronting sin in our own life takes boldness. So boldness is definitely something that's essential for a Christian. And tonight we're going to talk about Peter, an apostle who was bold. Now, Jonathan, he's allowed to talk about his daughters and their names, so I'm just going to talk about me tonight. All right. No, we're not talking about me. We're talking about the apostle Peter, who's not really a lot like me because I'm pretty shy sometimes, and he's pretty bold. Peter was bold. On the downside of it, he was also very outspoken in a bad way, like sticking his foot in his mouth, right? You guys know the stories of Peter where he's always messing up. Have you ever had a time where you stuck your foot in your mouth, Michael, like every day? Okay. Are you want to share with us 30 words or less?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
No, do you really want me to?
Yeah, if it's quick. Okay, never mind. All right, I was a waiter at Steak and Shake, and this was like a year ago this happened or something. I was opening the door, and, you know, was going to give this person a really friendly greeting as they came into our Steak and Shake restaurant. And I said, "Hello, sir." And it wasn't a sir. It was a lady with short hair. And you know, it was like, I wanted to, it wasn't because she didn't look like a guy at all. She looked like a lady. It was just their hair. And, you know, but it was one of those things where it was like, oops. And you can't take it back then, can you? You know, or if you ask a lady, you know, if she's pregnant, when's the baby due? And she's not, and it's not, and you're not, or you want to be not at that point. Just be gone. We all stick our feet in our respective mouths, don't we, at times? Peter was doing that all the time. And that was just kind of what we know of Peter. He shows up almost 200 times in the Bible, in the New Testament, and a lot of the times he's talking. But he was very bold. He was sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. And he was pretty much the unofficial leader of the disciples, which is pretty much why we're talking about him first. Every time the apostles are listed, Peter's name is first. And that's one clue to give us an idea that he was the unofficial leader. And he was, you know, as we said, he's always talking. And so he's pretty much the spokesperson for the group. So that's Peter the apostle. He was always leading the group for good or for bad. You and I are called to be bold. Did you know that? You are called to be bold. All Christians are. Just want to read you a couple verses. You don't have to turn to them. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Courageous would be a synonym for bold. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was spoken to Joshua, but it also applies to us. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked pretty much means unbelievers, and the righteous means believers. Okay, it's not that you are righteous, you attain a righteous state, but you are considered righteous by God. And so in Proverbs it says the wicked, it's talking about unbelievers. It says unbelievers, they flee when no one is pursuing. They're scared when nothing, there's no danger. But the righteous are bold as a lion. 2 Timothy 1:7, be memorizing that this year. Does anyone know that verse? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. There you go. That's your head start on Bible quizzing. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Timidity would be scaredness, the opposite of boldness. But God has given us a spirit of power and love and discipline. So we all need to be bold. As Peter often demonstrated, boldness does not always equal obedience. Often when Peter was very bold, he was very wrong. And that's what we're going to look at. Some of what we're going to look at tonight is that you don't just need to be bold, but you need to be bold for God. You need to be bold in a particular way that we're going to discuss. Peter was very bold, often in times that were not beneficial. Matthew 16. You can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to be flipping around a little bit, just getting some, just kind of flying through the life of Peter, because there is so much about it, we can't talk about a lot of it, of what we know about Peter. Matthew 16, verses 21 and 22. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to die. And that he was going to be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And then what did Jesus do? He turned around and he rebuked Peter for saying that, right? Peter was always opening his mouth, often in times when he shouldn't. Or he should have said something else, perhaps. He said, Lord, no, you're not going to go to the cross. He's confronting the Lord of the universe and saying, no, you're not going to do that. Don't do that. I'm telling you because I'm, you know, Peter the Apostle and I have, you know, no authority to say that to you. So that was Peter. He was always opening his mouth. So what we must learn is what we must learn how to have obedient boldness. That is boldness that is pleasing to God. We're not just talking about a boldness that we always go out and we speak our mind and we're always just confronting people and being out loud and everybody can see you and think, you know, wow, that guy, he's not afraid of anything. That's not the kind of boldness that we're looking for. We're looking for a boldness that is boldness to live for God. On your outline, you can record three words, the three main points. There's three qualities that your boldness must have, that Peter learned to have from the Lord. Your boldness must be, one, controlled. That's the first thing that your boldness must be. Your boldness must be controlled. This is not a boldness that just goes out and spouts off at random times. Peter did that a lot. John MacArthur said that Peter was always revving his mouth while his brain was in neutral. You ever meet somebody that's like that? You're just like, your mouth is moving and words are coming out, but I don't think your brain is doing stuff, because those are just, that just doesn't make sense. Or, like, why would anyone say that? And you and I do that a lot of times, too. So our boldness must be controlled. We must be bold for God, not for man. We must be bold to speak out of what God wants and not bold to speak out of what we want. We're pretty good at that, right? We can always speak up for ourselves. We're pretty good at that. Sometimes we're not. But a lot of times, something comes up, we don't like it. Yeah, ooh, we're going to speak up. But what if we're in a conversation and someone's talking bad about someone, they're gossiping, slandering someone else, or they're not showing reverence for God, or they're just talking about something that's sinful they shouldn't be discussing? Are you quick to speak up for God? Are you bold? That's the boldness that you need to have. Matthew 16, look in verse 13. Backing up from where we just were. Matthew 16, 13 says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" So what happened here? Jesus asked the disciples, he said, "Who are people saying that I am? What's the general consensus on me? What are people saying about me? Who do people think that I am?" And there were several different theories that people had at that time. And so the disciples listed them. They said, well, there's John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some Jeremiah. You know, the people thought that they were kind of that Jesus was a prophet come back from the dead to speak to them in their time, or that he was one of the prophets, that he was, you know, just a new prophet. That's what the people thought. And so Jesus asked, you know, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What was Jesus' assessment of Peter's statement? He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter wasn't speaking from his own wisdom. He wasn't speaking from man's wisdom. Man's wisdom had come up with John the Baptist, one of the prophets. That's what they were thinking Christ was. But Peter was in tune with what God wanted, what God was thinking. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is not just that, like, this knowledge had been beamed to him, into his mind. But Peter knew from what Jesus was saying that he was the Christ. Peter knew from the Old Testament that it predicted that Jesus would come, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he spoke out with boldness and said, "This is who you are." And it was from the Father. And that's what our boldness needs to be. Our boldness needs to be from the Father. In this account, Peter was praised by Jesus because his boldness was from the Lord and it was set on God's will. But as we saw later, Jesus would rebuke him. I mean, Peter would rebuke Jesus and say that Peter would rebuke Jesus, saying that, "No, you shouldn't go to the cross." And what did Jesus respond to that? He said, he turned to Peter and said in verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Do you see that? Look at verse 23. It says, "You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And then look at the previous verse before that. where he said in verse 17, God revealed this to you. Do you see that? In just 1 second, Peter flip-flopped from being in tune with what God wanted. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, making that bold declaration. And then he flipped to boldly confronting Christ, saying, you shouldn't go to the cross. And Jesus said, you're not setting your interest, your mind on God's interest, but man's. And too often we set our mind on man's interests, right? We're thinking about what we want, or we're thinking about what other people want us to do, and out of fear we do what they want us to do and not what God wants us to do. What did the apostles say when they were rebuked for preaching the gospel? It says we must obey, can anyone finish? Must obey God rather than man, right? And that's how we need to be. That's boldness. We must obey God rather than man. It's easy to be bold for some people and just stand up and spout off and say the things they want and get a lot of attention. And maybe even if people don't like them, they'll just keep talking or keep doing whatever they're doing. But they're doing it for themselves, right? They don't mind the bad rap. They just want to do what they want to do. But it's difficult to be bold for God. It's difficult to stand up for what God wants and to live according to His interests. But that's what we need to do. That's what Peter learned to do. Because Jesus rebuked him when he didn't. And then Peter turned around and he sought God's interest. He was bold in proclaiming the gospel. What are God's interests? What does God desire? What are the things that God wants you to be bold for? This is not a rhetorical question, as well as you can answer. Anyone want to throw it out? What does God want? He wants us to obey Him, right? So, when we're speaking, we need to be telling other people to obey Him, right? And when we're acting it out, we need to obey Him ourselves, right? Do people like obeying God? Is that a popular thing these days? No. People are like wanting to do what they want to do, right? And expressing themselves and living for themselves. What are some other things that God wants? What are God's desires? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So God wants us to have wisdom when we speak. A couple of things that I thought of that are very important to God, they're stressed in the Scripture. Holiness is, and that's not a popular thing. Holiness would be, in one sense, you could define it as absence of sin, right? Living in a holy way is living in a way that is not sinful. We must boldly confront sin in ourselves and other believers. It's not politically correct to talk about sin. It's not popular to talk about sin. But we need to talk about sin, right? We need to confront sin. When we see it in ourselves, when we see it in others, and we need to stop sin before it can get started. We need to be bold that way. We've mentioned this before. We also need to be bold in sharing the gospel. God wants us to share the gospel. It's not popular, but we need to boldly share the gospel and His glory. We need to give God glory at all times. We're too quick to give glory to ourselves and not to give glory to God, to whom it is due. Two, the second thing, second quality that your boldness needs to have is it needs to be consistent. You need to be bold at all times. It's easy to have one thing that you go for and you say, man, I'm going to do this. And then next time, oop, I forgot. And I'm not going to do that. You see in the Apostle Peter, he was bold as a lion at times. He was right there. He was ready to attack. He was going to stand against any opposition. He said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it for the Lord. And then other times he trembled in fear. And you know this, but we'll turn there. Rocky talked about this a little on Sunday. I was afraid he was going to steal my whole lesson, but talked about Peter and Judas. You remember if you were here. Matthew 26, you can turn there. and I won't read the whole passage, but Matthew 26, 69 through 75 talks about the account where Peter was in the courtyard. Jesus was being tried at this point. He was, this was in between the Last Supper and Jesus' crucifixion, where he'd been captured, arrested, taken in, and Peter was standing in the courtyard. Remember, all the disciples had fled, but Peter had kind of followed at a distance and wanted to see what was going to happen with Jesus. So he's standing in the courtyard, and then someone comes up to him. And who is it? In verse 69, it says, "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said," just a young servant girl. She was just a young girl, not too intimidating. It wasn't like the bouncer of the courtyard came up to him, threatening him. It was just a little girl, just a servant. She didn't have authority. She wasn't going to kick him out or anything. But a servant girl came up to him and said, "You too are with Jesus the Galilean." And what did Peter do at that point? He denied Christ, right? And then they asked him again, and they asked him again. Three times, Peter denied him. What did Peter say that he was going to do? He said, "Lord, if everyone else falls away, I'm sticking with you. I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to be there." But he denied Christ three times. He said, I don't even know this man. And he, it says that he swore. He said, "I do not know this man." And he even took it to the point of swearing that he didn't know Christ. He wouldn't even admit to knowing Christ. And it's kind of a funny contrast. When I read that and when I thought about that, I was like, that's not like Peter, right? Peter's always opening his mouth. Peter's always the first to speak, the first to jump into a project and start it, right? Isn't that so strange? But we're like that sometimes, aren't we? We start something and say, "Yeah, I'm going to do this." And then we fizzle out. And we don't have the boldness to go through with it. Things get hard, and then we decide, oh, maybe this isn't what I was going to do. Maybe this isn't that important. We need to be consistent. We need to be saying that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to live boldly. I'm going to speak for Him. I'm going to live in a way that is holy according to God's Word. I'm not going to just do what everybody else wants me to do. I'm going to live and speak boldly. And we need to commit to doing that, and we need to do it. So, the question that we can ask ourselves is, am I bold at all times? Or am I just bold when it's convenient? When, you know, a bunch of friends get together and say, "Hey man, we're going to go like door to door and share the gospel." You know, and you get yourselves all psyched up and you're thinking, "Man, I don't want to do it." But you're together and you're encouraging one another and you go and you share the gospel. Well, then the next day you're at school. You have chances to share the gospel then, right? Are you consistent? We need to be bold at all times. Thirdly, we need to be compassionate. Even in our boldness, we need to be compassionate. We need to have love for others. It's easy when you're living boldly, you're living by your principles, you're knowing what God's Word says, you're doing it no matter what. It's easy to forget people, isn't it? Have you ever been like that? You started into a project, and you're going along, and then, you know, maybe you're studying for a big test that you have, and your little brother or sister comes in, like, "Hee-hee, let's play." And you're like, "No, get out of here." You know, it's kind of that mentality of, I'm set on this project, I'm doing this, I'm committed to what I'm doing, and I'm going to go through with it, and you forget about the other people. Peter did that a lot of times. In Matthew 26, verse 31, you can flip over there, Matthew 26, 31. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'" Jesus, again, we're going back to the same thing of Jesus saying, "I'm going to die." And Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Well, there's an interesting thing that you can note there. He says, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Peter's being pretty selfish, right? He's saying, "Hey, it doesn't matter what those other guys do. I don't care about them, but I'm going to be committed to you. This is, you know, a pride that he has. He didn't say, no, Lord, we're your disciples. We're going to stick together and we're going to stay and we're going to, you know, we're going to follow you. We're not going to fall away. He said, hey, forget those other guys. I'm committed. I don't know where these other guys stand, but I'm going to follow you and I'm not going to fall away. He completely forgot about the other people. He said, yeah, don't worry about them. I'm going to follow you. They're going to fall away. Acts 4, you don't have to turn there. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. There's that boldness coming up again. This was after Jesus had died, resurrected, ascended. He'd left. They'd received the Holy Spirit, and they were starting to live for him. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All the disciples were there, including Peter. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. They started speaking the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit came on them. They were taken with boldness. And what does it say they did? It says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. The people were together. They were unified. And they didn't claim that anything belonged to them was their own. They said all the possessions. It doesn't mean they pooled all the resources and they made a commune and they just all lived together. But they were giving to one another. They were helping one another out. They were providing for each other's needs as a result of their boldness. That's how true boldness should be. We should boldly live for God and boldly want to see others live for God also, not just lose everybody in our quest to accomplish the task that we've set out to do. So I know we've gone kind of short tonight, but that's the message that we have from Peter. What I want you to remember and what I want you to do this week is to be bold at all times, to be consistent. To be consistent is to be bold at all times, not here one day and not the next. Be bold at all times. Live for the Lord. Also, be bold for Him, not for your own interest. Be bold for what God desires. Boldly live according to His Word. And then thirdly, to love others while doing it. Love others. Boldly choose to love others. This week, live boldly for the Lord. Let's pray, and then we're going to split up into our groups. Lord, we thank you that you have just called us together, given us the opportunity to hear your word. Pray that we would respond to it properly, that we would live our lives in boldness. God, just pray that you'd help us this week to live for you. God, not to forget the things that we learn and the encouragement that we've received from other believers, but God, that we would live this week as unto you. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.